When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
Good morning and welcome to Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. I'm Jeannie Murphy with Weikert Realtors, Flemington, New Jersey. Hope you're having a great day. If you're looking to buy, sell, or rent real estate, please get in touch with me, Weikert Flemington. We're going to have fun today learning about septics. If you're like me and you live in New Jersey and you're interested in learning about this crazy septic problem that we have the expert here, Tom Cahill with New Jersey Septic Management Group. And he's going to tell us all about what we need to know both as owners of homes, future homeowners of homes, and maybe those that are a little worried about being in a position to sell their house based on the septic and year of it. So stay with us. Right now I'm going to give you an update on the weather. Mostly cloudy early, then gradual clearing today with a high of 38. Clear with a low around 21 tonight. Sunny with a high near 34 on Thursday. Increasing clouds with a low around 22 on Thursday night. Chance of rain, mainly after 2 p.m., cloudy with a high of 44 on Friday. Rain mainly after 8 p.m., continuing Friday night. Could be heavy at times with a low around 41. Then rain again all day on Saturday. Heavy at times with a high of 55. And then rain likely before 8 p.m. on Saturday night. Mostly cloudy with a low of 38. Chance of rain again before 8 a.m., then partly sunny with the high of 47 on Sunday. So we're going to go to one quick commercial break, and then we're going to talk about septics. Stay with us.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I do. I love New Jersey. I love New Jersey. Location, location, location. I'm talking to Thomas about my history here as a radio host at the Hunterdon County Chamber. You may recall we did talented people for about 10 years. And then I love New Jersey, but now it's home again with Jeannie and Larry. Larry is a home inspector. He owns a company called Home Team Inspections, and he hosts every other Wednesday with me. So if you're looking for a home inspection company, make sure you check out Larry. So, again, Tom, welcome to our show today.
Thank you, Jane.
We're talking about septics, and you're like the top of the top from what I understand from our real estate office, New Jersey Septic Management Group. I know that you also teach at Rutgers.
Well, it's a two-day course once a year.
Okay.
Basically, it's for people interested in septic system inspections. It's to go over the standards that are now part of the septic code in the state of New Jersey.
That's what we're here to talk about today, because we're going to go right to the beginning, and we are going to learn about septics. And you've been doing this for a long time. Tell us a little bit about yourself first.
I'm a state-licensed health inspector. Through the 90s, I was employed in the health department in Sparta, Sussex County, New Jersey. I've been inspecting septic systems for 33 years. The first 17 years of that, I did it in combination with home inspections.
Oh, okay.
When they got to the point where they required a license and more training courses and whatnot, I decided to specialize just in septic systems. It's currently the case that a licensed home inspector cannot do septic system inspections unless they're a licensed PE or health inspector, and most of them don't have that credential. So separately, it's considered a specialty now. Just as often there are electrical professionals or radon professionals, so we offer anything and everything to do with septic systems. Septic system inspections are one part of the business. It's the part that I happen to supervise. Since the beginning, working with the standards for inspections in 2002, I was a part of this DEP subcommittee that worked to create the standard for inspections. That was adopted by the New Jersey Association, Septic Management Association, actually, in 2004, made it their standard for inspections for any member of that group. Unfortunately, that overall group that was active throughout the state has not had a meeting since 2006. It's a shame for that. But the standards for inspection became part of the septic code in 2012 when the septic code was updated. And officially, if you want to be considered a New Jersey DEP septic system inspector and your report's accepted within health departments, you have to do the inspections according to those standards, those protocols in the state septic code.
Okay. So that's a lot of information.
Yes.
I'm just sitting here thinking about my home, and it's a 1848 house in Ringo's. Mm. And I actually had reached out to you yesterday because I have a listing, and I know that my seller knows that it's possible. His home is 1965,
mm-hmm.
and so we're trying to figure out what to anticipate. So I called yesterday Tom to find out if we should, as a seller, have you come out and do a pre-inspection,
mm-hmm.
so that he can get a better idea. So I'm, in my head, curious because I'm interested on behalf of all of our people out there who are not selling, buying, just owning a home like mine,
mm-hmm.
1848, like God knows when did they put septics in the first place. And then we'll get to some of your typical questions and just understand more about what a septic is. Can you tell us the components of it, the D-box, how it works?
Surely. First of all, with houses as old as you're describing, many of them originally did not have interior plumbing. Very likely there was an outhouse initially. The update of outhouses were cesspools, where the wastewater from the home was actually taken out in some sort of plumbing, old-style plumbing, emptying into a pit in the ground, essentially. As of the newer septic code, April 2nd, 2012, cesspools can no longer be transferred between buyer and seller in a real estate transaction. They can still be transferred within a family.
Really?
Yes. And they can also be transferred to state and local government agencies, but not buyer and seller in real estate transactions.
So, like, was there ever a time where, like, a cesspool was said to be no longer allowed? And then, is like, do I have a cesspool? Like, what should I assume? I mean,
that would have to be determined. There's nothing in the interior of the home to tell you if you have sewer or septic system, let alone cesspool.
I love learning this stuff. And I know from the contracts we write up, we have a cesspool addendum, and mm-hmm. I understand. And I'm so glad you're talking about this for people, mm-hmm. because I never, you know, really thought about it too much. And now it's time to think about it. But anyway.
So the idea of a cesspool is all of the wastewater, meaning sewage solids, paper products, personal hygiene products, water, all goes into one common pit. little bit by little bit accumulates. Bacteria will digest some part of it. And it's hard to talk without my hands.
No,
and as if I'm in front of an audience.
All right.
And the liquid soaks into the ground. The problem is very often that cesspool is in fact close to the water table and can contaminate the water table without proper treatment.
Oh, this is interesting. So that's why cesspools are like no longer allowed.
That's exactly it. We now know that there is a differential required between the bottom of drainage gravel in a septic system, and there's a 4-foot difference before the water table to allow some filtration. Interestingly, in Pennsylvania, just across the river, it's only a 2-foot separation. So the ideas are very different, and there are other things that are allowed one side and not the other. At any rate, it's actually because of that 4-foot separation between the water table and the bottom of drainage gravel in any kind of drain field. That's why we sometimes have mounded systems in properties. It's the high water table. And things have to be up above that.
That's where you see where the backyard goes all of a sudden up, and it looks
yes.
like a hill in the backyard,
yes.
and it's really the septic.
And people will often mistakenly think that any and all new replacement systems must be mounded, not knowing that on some properties that's required, and other properties it's not a problem. Now, more recently, there are advanced treatment systems. Technology does wonderful things for us, and we don't yet have our flying cars, as promised by the Jetsons, but we do have advanced treatment systems that can reduce the height of that mound.
Thank God.
Instead of a 48-inch difference between the bottom of drainage gravel and the water table, we can reduce that to 18 inches.
Nice.
That greatly reduces many mounds.
Yeah.
Also, the square footage, the size or footprint of the drain field can be reduced by 1/3.
Really?
So, yeah, it makes a world of difference.
So let's go back. So a home now, start from the beginning. Say let's move to 65. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened between 1965 when they put in the septics and today?
Actually, that house may have a cesspool. That would have to be determined. It's possible. The first septic code went into effect in 54. So in 65, they were still working with different materials to see what works, what doesn't work. The codes are fairly minimal. There may well be. Sometimes we find surprisingly large or over-designed systems because some of the old-timers knew to dig deeper, put lots of stone, make it so it would last forever. And if they were lucky enough to not be concerned with a high water table, some areas have a very deep water table, that system may be functioning fine to this day.
Really?
We don't know, and we hate to make assumptions.
Right.
There are some people doing inspections that will go to the property, oh, it's older, just replace everything. And that's not an inspection, certainly. And in general, we can talk about what commonly happens in terms of a life expectancy.
Yes.
But not knowing the materials, not knowing the sizing or the soil conditions, to make that generalization is tough, and sometimes you're throwing out what may be good functioning components.
Well, that's what I really want to also address, is that there is like a pandemonium, or the minute that you are involved with a transaction on a home, septic becomes like the focus point.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Like, is it public? Is it not? I'm not dealing with that in mm-hmm. Hunterdon County, especially like in East Amwell.
Mm-hmm.
There is no public water and septic.
Yes.
So basically anyone who's going to be moving into these areas that don't have it are going to have to deal with the septic.
Certainly.
So, okay. And so you're saying that it's not just a given that because it's old, it's malfunctioning.
That's true. Now, in general, we look to an idea that septic systems can last 25 to 30 years. However, again, a generality. Some are much shorter than that and done, and some will go greatly beyond that because of overdesign, because of good or just remarkable soil conditions. And it all has to do very much with its use or abuse. We will go to a property, and homeowners will tell us they don't know where the tank is because in 35 years they have never pumped their tank. The sewage has to go somewhere. When homeowners will tell us, oh, we pump our tank every 3 years, every 2 years, we're very careful about what we put into it. We actually have a very nice list of homeowners' do's and don'ts for new homeowners that are unfamiliar with septic systems, and we're always happy to answer any and all questions.
Give us a couple of the do's and don'ts.
You want to be careful dumping fats and greases down your drains. Fats and greases will clog the soils, the gravel. They will stop the system from working. They'll actually clog the piping network going out to the drain field quite often. We definitely want to be careful. Some people will put certain things down. Chemicals are not good for the system. There are live bacteria products that really help a system to work, but there are some products advertised as additives that can make a difference, some of which have emulsifiers liquefying the sewage, and it ends up flowing out and clogging the drain field. We need to be careful with what we're putting in, separate from our normal usage. Personal paper and plastic hygiene products should all go in garbage. We need to be careful. That's often a sticky subject to discuss with your guests and whatnot. You'll be careful what you flush.
Absolutely. And paper towels.
Paper towels are terrible.
They're
baby
terrible.
Wipes.
Yeah.
Baby wipes don't break down. They will clog a system. These days, modern systems will often have filters at the outlet now. Over the years, the older original septic systems would allow small sewage particulates. As the bacteria digest the sewage, materials would flow out of the tank and slowly clog the drain field, eventually ending its life.
Wow.
With a filter, the drain field can last longer because that clogging material stays in the tank. It has to be cleaned off the filter. The filter will clog and cause a backup if it's not cleaned regularly. And that's why we have service programs to keep the filter clean. But filters, the manufacturers advertise that you can add 7 to 10 years to the life of a drain field, disposal bed, by having a filter alone properly maintained. It's remarkable the things that we know now that we didn't know for the longest time.
Of course.
Septic tanks are designed differently than they used to be.
Wait, let's go to our commercial break real quick because I want to hear about this, how they're designed and what's changed and everything else. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. I'm Wakert Flemington. If you're looking to buy, sell, or rent, please call me. And my guest, Tom Cahill, is here with New Jersey Septic Management Group, and we're talking about septics. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, that's good news. Anyway, all right, we're back here with Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. Larry is the owner of Home Team Inspection Company. He alternates with me hosting the show on every other Wednesday, 11 to 12. If you're looking for a home inspector company, get in touch with Larry. Thanks for watching our show today. And our guest here, Tom Cahill, is talking about septics from his company over you're located in Montgomery?
Bellmead, yes.
Bellmead.
Yes.
Okay. And then you service the whole state of New Jersey?
Central New Jersey, central. Actually.
Okay, great.
Fairly much the central belt between 78 and 33.
And certainly have enough work in that area.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's the area that we're talking about, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So you were going to talk about the designs of septics nowadays.
Yes. Originally, septic tanks were round, or actually cylindrical, not spherical, but they were based on the most common structurally sound shape that cesspools were. When you dig a hole and you line it with fieldstone or block without interior support, the most stable structure is a round one. So the walls stay up when it's full of sewage material rather than collapse. So with that idea, septic tanks were round initially. We now know that because of the round shape, where the water enters, wastewater, where the wastewater leaves, the inlet and outlet baffle, that's the pipe in, pipe out. If they're too close together, the sewage doesn't settle out into the tank. It flows through and clogs the drain field. At this point, it's now required, since the updated septic code 2012, tanks are longer. No tank smaller than a 1,000-gallon tank is allowed. That way, where the water enters, where the water leaves, is as far apart as minimally possible and can be further. But there are also requirements for either two tanks in series, as required in East Elmwell, or a double compartment tank. In both cases, you have settlement. It spills over, the solids settle out, spills over again, the solids settle. So the liquid leaving is more clarified, more liquid, not so much sewage material. Mm. So the updated ideas and design help drain fields or absorption areas to last longer because, again, it's mostly liquid.
It's like diluting it.
Mm-hmm. Removing the solids. Mm. There's a better chance with liquid going out. Now the liquid alone filters down through the hopefully sandy soil, and before it joins the water table, it's cleaner. Interestingly, the people representing the newer technology, the alternative technology, they will hold up a glass and show us how clean it is, tell us it's almost drinkable.
Jeez.
Almost. Nobody has
what?
Yet. Gulp in front of me.
Yeah, right.
But it's getting there.
You go first.
It's getting there. I don't think so. But what's nice is because it's that clean is why we can allow those reductions in the drain field.
And they'll last.
It makes a world of
absolutely. And it's just like rainwater, by
yes,
that point.
Yes, yes.
And it's funny. I make a joke. I went to a class that the Hunterdon County put on, and I was just trying to figure it out. And they're talking like everybody knows what they're talking about. But when they said baffle, mm-hmm. I wrote to my friend. I said, I'm baffled as what a baffle is. That's all I want you to know. I'm learning a lot about it, but I really want to know more because it's just mm-hmm. a whole other world.
Absolutely.
So keep going.
When I do a presentation in front of a classroom, I have picture boards and or slides, so it's easier to show. Essentially, though, you have a pipe that comes in, and it connects as a T, the pipe coming in from the house through the sewer line. Whether you're connected to a septic system or a municipal sewer, the line leaving the house is still referred to as a sewer line.
Okay.
That's actually under the oversight of the plumbing department. Officially, the septic system under the oversight of the health department doesn't begin until the septic tank. It gets interesting when you have to do repairs. You have to get multiple permits for inspections if you're working on the sewer line versus anything in the septic system. But most people don't understand that, and they think that it's quicker and sooner. But anyway, it gets a little complex in some departments. At any rate, the water coming in from the house, it comes into the tank, and it hits the baffle, which directs it down. It's a T connection. So there's access from above, hopefully, and it drops the liquid down. It forces, instead of washing across the system, it forces it down by that T connection. The baffle at the outlet is another T connection. It's connected so the liquid from underneath rises up and flows out, not the material floating on the top. The material floating on the top is referred to as a scum layer. It's fat, greases, hair, toilet paper and personal hygiene products are floating. You don't want that going out and clogging your drain field. The outlet baffle stops that. Materials from below, including the sewage materials, can flow up and out of the baffle, except that a filter will stop that. The filter captures that, so only liquid goes out. So we do have maintenance programs to keep the filter clean and oversee other components of the system.
When you have this, the normal soil, and then you have the paper towels and things that aren't supposed to belong in there that are there.
Yes.
Now, is that when you're treating them with certain non-chemical things? Is that what that's supposed to be doing? Is serving into that area so that the bacteria eats that stuff?
The bacteria eats up the sewage material, which are proteins, fats, and greases. Some bacteria digest fats and greases better. It does partially digest the materials on the top. Quite often, those materials on the top, though, will cause clogging. Can even clog a filter or clog the hose when it's being pumped, depending on what kind of junk is put in there. We've actually seen whole baby diapers. Somehow they're flushed down the toilet, and once they enter the tank, they will absorb all of the water and swell up like a large dead animal within. It's like, how did this get down there? It's often surprising to see what we, in fact, see down there. We will see...
Like you were saying, some people out there... I don't know any personally, but they haven't had their tank cleaned in 14 years. Mm. What is going on out there? How often are you supposed to clean it? And how many things that could be accumulated over the years? What is going on? What happens to it?
Well, ideally, the standard in the industry is for a family of four will pump the tank every 3 years.
Okay.
Again, that has a lot to do with the use. It has a lot to do with parties, visitors, guests, how many people are living there. When a septic system is designed according to number of bedrooms in the house, it has nothing to do with number of bathrooms.
I heard that the other day. Yes. I'm laughing too, because you can have 10 people in a bedroom in a certain house. I wouldn't do it, but people do. And then yet they only have one or two bathrooms, but if there's three bedrooms, you could have 15 people. But it's three bedrooms.
And along that same line of thinking, you can have three or four bedrooms, and you can have 16 bathrooms. It doesn't mean there's more sewage being produced. It's just a choice as to where you go to the bathroom. If there's a pool house, that bathroom doesn't count as another bedroom. It's just another place to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So
when are they going to update that? Because that is ridiculous.
Well...
It doesn't make
sense. There's no way for anyone to know how many people or how many families someone's going to squeeze into. All they can assume is two people per bedroom for design purposes. If, in fact, a family chooses to do more, there will be consequences.
Yeah.
Things won't work as well.
Right.
Most certainly.
Absolutely. No, and I'm just hoping for clarification's sake, what he's saying is that septics are designed so that it's by the number of bedrooms in the house. So if it's a septic built for a four-bedroom home, instead of if there's four bathrooms, that's why we think it's a little weird, because whatever. But who cares?
And when we say determined by number of bedrooms, what we're talking about is it's designed for a certain volume of wastewater per day.
It makes total sense.
People showering, using the toilets, washing dishes and whatnot. Certainly two people living in a home probably more than likely use less water than four people or 11 people.
That's one thing I've going for myself. Empty nesters.
Mm-hmm.
Five-bedroom house was certainly not the correct subject, probably ancient. Mm-hmm. But only two people.
And sometimes we have the case where we'll be told, oh, there's only two people living here. However, many parties, lots of guests, families staying, it changes things. It really does.
No, it all makes sense.
Now, in general, the sewage has to be pumped out of the tank. At some point, as the solids material build up from the bottom, when the sewage solids get high enough, it can cause clogging and or backup of sewage material.
Okay, so that would be the symptoms are the backup.
Yes, when the tank isn't pumped out often enough, you'll start with maybe gurgling as you're flushing a toilet. There can be odors telling you that something's not venting properly because sewage is causing a clogging somewhere. we would expect that we would see the sewage solids, sewage materials added up, and I have personally opened lids of tanks that haven't been pumped in a long time, and the sewage solids are solid enough that you can stand on them.
Oh, my God.
And you wonder, where is the water going? More often than not, when tanks aren't pumped often enough, there will be a backup. Once in a while, surprisingly, the water carves its way through the sewage solids and goes out without any backup. Just like the water carved the Grand Canyon, sometimes, surprisingly, for whatever reason, it will, in fact, continue flowing through the system to the drain field without a backup.
Wow.
Remarkably. We're often surprised to see that. But
yeah.
But more often than not, we would expect there would be some problem because of a lack of maintenance. In fact, when we do an inspection, some problems that are found can be pointed to not pumping frequently enough.
Oh, good. Okay, so let's go back to that. So, okay, say that there's this home that I'm selling
mm-hmm.
that has no symptoms. 1969 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Seller's concerned about it because everybody's concerned about the cost of the septic replacement.
Surely.
So tell us about your pre-inspection.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do these tests? And then what happens?
Well, first thing we do, certainly we work to get authorization to enter a property. We too many times hear stories about people coming home and find that there was an inspection done on their property without their permission or knowledge. It's important to get permission to not just enter a property, but in fact to dig. Septic systems are underground. It's not possible to do a good inspection without some digging of some kind. We don't have X-ray vision.
He's got a very funny picture. Okay, like in a normal home where you can see where the lid is,
mm-hmm.
What are you digging?
Well, we actually need access to the outlet of the tank so that we can get our camera in. Now, certainly we'll open the main lid of the tank. By the way, when you said a normal home, that's an updated septic system with the lid exposed to create.
Oh.
Very many older systems don't have those lids exposed.
Oh.
So the first thing an inspector would work to do is locate the septic tank.
Okay.
We start by looking at plumbing connections in the basement. You want to see which side of the house, which wall of the house the drain lines are leaving, the sewer line. You're also looking to see what plumbing fixtures enter that drain line. In some towns, some areas, there will be a black water, gray water separation, separating the sewage water, toilet water, from soapy water. That's black water, gray water. That's the difference there. Many properties in Hopewell Township have separate systems, black water, gray water. Two tanks, two drain fills.
From how long ago, about?
Oh, it's the 70s easily. More recently, that's uncommon. The updated septic code since the 90s made it clear that you can still have a black water, gray water separation if you choose to, but each system has to be designed to handle 75% of the total use, meaning a homeowner would have to agree to pay for installation of 150% more sewage system, a septic system, then why not do 100% cover everything rather than purposely pay to over-design, overbuild? Most people don't make that choice to separate it any longer. But in certain areas, that separation is very common. Sometimes soapy water will simply go to a pit in the ground without a tank. It's not a full system.
Is that allowed?
It was back then. It's not at this point. Actually, when we knew that the change was coming that would outlaw cesspools prior to 2012, for some years before that, health departments allowed you to upgrade cesspools by putting a septic tank between the house and the cesspool. By doing that, the septic tank captures the sewage, what we're flushing down our toilets, toilet paper and whatnot, so that what's going to the cesspool is just liquid. So that cesspool, in effect, was converted to a seepage pit, one of many kinds of drainage components. So by putting a tank between the house and the cesspool, that updated the system. Once the code changed and cesspools were outlawed as of 2012, that update is no longer allowed because that's a minimal system. The by and far the preferred septic system is a larger drain field spreading wastewater over a larger area, so it's filtered better and it drains better. Only when we know there's a very deep water table that wouldn't easily be affected can we put a seepage pit. Again, it's like a round septic tank but with holes in it like a Swiss cheese. The water goes in and drains into the earth. But that is something we find in some areas. So some houses have drain fields dug out like a shallow swimming pool filled with possibly sand, a layer of stone, the drain pipes, or there are individual trenches if there's a slope on the property. Each drain pipe has its own long, thin drain field acting independently, or some areas have seepage pits. So there are different kinds of drainage areas, absorption areas after a septic tank.
So when you come out to a house,
mm-hmm.
you got permission to come in, you check out like the walls you said and the direction, and you find the septic wherever and however old it is.
The septic tank, uh-huh.
And now you find a way to get to, what was it called?
Well, we look to access the septic tank.
Okay.
We find the inlet. We look for the main access lid. Sometimes there are main access lids over both ends. If there are two compartments, there's an access lid over each compartment. Depends on the type, the style of the tank, where lids are. It is important to have an access lid available at grade for regular pumping. It makes it easier. Hopewell Township actually has a strict requirement that all access lids must be up to grade, period. The septic code in New Jersey, throughout the state, since 1990, has said if a lid is exposed to the surface, it has to be lockable. Some people misunderstand to think there's a padlock involved in that. All that they're talking about in the old days would be a cast iron lid that's bolted closed. More recently, there are heavy-duty plastic lids, referred to as poly lids, that can be screwed shut. But concrete lids cannot be exposed to the surface because they can't be secured shut. It's actually a safety hazard.
Mill does make sense.
Once in a while, unfortunately, there are news reports about lids being left open or ajar and kids falling in and drowning. It's a terrible thing when it happens, but it is a safety hazard if lids can't be secured shut. Homeowners will often have a problem because we'll point out the need to replace a lid if it can't be screwed shut because it's so heavily rusted you can't get bolts in. If it's sitting there loose, it's movable. Therefore, it has to be replaced. And again, Hopewell Township has a very strict ordinance about that.
I'm terrified.
Hopewell Township.
I'm like totally freaking
out. I'm sorry.
No. I'm
secure lids are important.
Hey, you teach the class at Rutgers, and I'm
yes.
lucky enough to have the show, so I can help everybody and myself learn all about this.
That's very good.
From the top.
That's
keep
very
going.
Good. Again, if concrete lids are exposed at the surface, they have to be replaced with lids that can be secured shut. But when we get a note from a homeowner saying, they're telling me this has to be locked, can you come and put a padlock on it? And that's just a misunderstanding
yeah,
or the description.
How do you padlock something to the ground?
No. When it says lockable, they should change that language to say secured shut so
yeah.
people don't misunderstand that.
The thing about screwing, it makes total sense.
Yes, and in fact, when our guys replace those lids, they put a petroleum product called Neverseize that prevents it from rusting up again. Otherwise, it will rust and in a few years need to be replaced again. At any rate, when the liquid leaves the tank,
okay.
it flows out an outlet pipe. In the old days, that pipe would often be made of cast iron, Orangeburg, which essentially was layers of rolled-up tar paper, crumbles easy. And nowadays, since the 80s, a PVC pipe has become more common. Heavy-duty PVC pipe is the outlet pipe that delivers the wastewater to the drain field or absorption area. If there's a drain field or trenches, the liquid first enters a distribution box.
Okay. That's
so
the D-box.
The D-box, yes.
I learned that.
We have lazy tongues, so we learn to abbreviate, yes.
I love it. And it's not terrifying if there's a D-box problem because I've had clients that were like, oh, the D-box.
If that's all that's happened. Well, it's more than that, but it is a smaller component. No. Actually, as systems approach 20 years,
okay.
The distribution box replacement is the most common repair item we find. And if that's all that's happening, that's a pretty good system because that's to be expected. Septic tanks, the concrete walls of a septic tank can be 4.5 to 5 inches thick, fairly solid. Distribution boxes are sometimes less than 2 inches thick. So the concrete doesn't last for long. If, in fact, someone has a water softener in their home because they don't want hard water, if that water softener backwash, which is very salty water, is discharged, drains into the septic system, that high salt content will eat up certain concrete components. We have seen D-boxes, distribution boxes, 6 years old, that are disintegrated. Only plastic pipe in the ground. Concrete is gone. If you consider the effect on the concrete walkway when there's ice and snow on the ground and people put salt to make it, to get rid of the ice and snow, it eats up the surface of the concrete. Inside septic tanks, it eats up the surface, but the walls are thicker. Distribution boxes, thinner, will very much become compromised.
Okay, so then what do you do with the camera?
We will, if there's access into the sewer line from the house, very often there's a clean out outside, we can get the camera in there to inspect that sewer line. Even if the system had been upgraded, sometimes the sewer line from the house to the tank is older cast iron, very often greatly restricted. Cast iron pipe has a rough interior, materials stick to it, and it closes up like our arteries over time. Sometimes that pipe is settled, depressed. Sometimes there's blockage. Sometimes disconnections. That camera shows us all of that inside the line. It's very
so
nice.
So you do it from like, okay, so like in my house, I have like everything goes down to like this bathroom and then an underground, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know
you
that,
don't have a basement?
And that goes out. I do have a basement.
Okay.
But I don't know where you would connect with. On one side of the basement, there's like the kitchen side where mm-hmm. it's got PVC piping mm-hmm. and there's a trap.
Yes.
Do you go that way or do you go to the toilet?
It all
or
depends
do you go
on.
From the tank back into the house.
We have done that if possible. Many newer systems have a clean out available on the outside of the foundation. We try not to enter the home to do the camera inside the line. If you open the cap to the sewer line inside the house, sometimes sewage materials will come into the basement. Never a good thing.
Yeah.
Very bad situation if there's a finished basement. You don't want sewage doing that. So if there's a clean out available outside, we would do our best to always camera that line.
Is it like a video or is it just like
it can be? It can be recorded. Okay. Typically, we'll watch it real time. Mm-hmm. We also trace the radio signal in the head so that if in fact the view from the camera is not so clear because of clogging, because of dark water, sewage water can be black even, or for whatever reason you're not getting a good picture, you can trace the signal. And we can find out. Our cameras will also give us the depth recording.
Neat.
So we can see how far, how deep, what's going on in that line. Again, going back for a minute into where we would look for the plumbing to leave the house, we do look to see under the washing machine, under the kitchen sink, how does that connect to the main line going out, or does it not connect and leave the house in another direction? Sometimes wastewater is separated. Sometimes it ties together. It's hard to know. Inside the house, it's very important that a sump pump, which is supposed to deal with groundwater, once in a while we find them pumping into a septic system. People are purposely flooding their septic systems sometimes. Water softener backwash, as we said, if we can redirect that away from the septic system, that would be good. So there are things going into septic systems that should not, and other things that should be going in that don't. It's always interesting to see. And
I get it. I actually laugh because I always, like, when toilet paper gets to water,
mm-hmm.
and you can see it, like, if I take toilet paper and just going to clean my sink out, for example.
It breaks down.
It breaks, and I'm always Surely. Thinking, that's what it's supposed to do.
Yes, that's right.
That's the difference between that and a paper towel.
Absolutely.
And I have paid thousands of dollars on paper towels. I just, like, freak out when
yes.
anybody comes to a party.
Yes.
You know, we got the hygiene products, and it's like, you read these signs, people beg, please do not throw your thing in my toilet.
Yes, yes.
One little thing, thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the personal hygiene wipes, baby wipes, they do say that they're flushable, and that is going to be changed. There are laws now that are changed because they cause so many problems. they will clog sewer lines. That rough interior wall, that stuff will stick to it. They will wrap around a filter in a tank. For newer tanks upgraded with filters, those baby wipes will clog that terribly. They'll clog the hoses for pumpers who are trying to empty the tank. Many people spend a lot of hours cleaning them out at sewer treatment plants from just municipal sewer connections, even not just septics. So those kind of things, we do have to watch what we're flushing down. At any rate, when we get out our camera from the outlet of the tank, our camera goes through the pipe leaving the tank, leading us to the drain field, and we can watch again the interior of that delivery pipe or outlet pipe as it goes toward the drain field, the absorption area. We can see when it enters the mouth of the distribution box. We have a view of the inside of the D-box. Our camera will tell us what we're looking at. It will give us the depth so we know how far we have to dig to uncover it. It can also tell us if the water is at a normal operating level or if, in fact, if the distribution box is deteriorated, is leaking, the liquid is not going out the drain pipes in the drain field, but, in fact, soaking down into the earth, not being filtered properly.
All right, hold on. We got to go to our break here. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. We're learning about septics from the top, the educator, Tom Cahill at Rutgers, who teaches experts how to do septic stuff. And I am actually at the edge of my seat because I was dying to have him on to talk to him about septics, but it's also fun to understand the technology, the way you use cameras. You know, I was trying to figure out what you did when you come to an inspection, like flush toilet 15 times. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll be right back. Thanks for watching in. Hold on.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, welcome back to Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. I'm Jeannie Murphy, Weikert Realtors, Flemington, New Jersey. Hope you're having a great day. If you know anyone looking to buy, sell, or rent, please get in touch with me, Flemington office. My guest is Tom Cahill from New Jersey Septic Management Group, and he's actually a leader in the septic world. He teaches at Rutgers those that are advancing as experts into septic. So I couldn't ask for a more credible guest today to tell us about septics. And you were just all over it. So go ahead. I'm giving you the last 7 minutes here so that you can tell us what we need to know.
I just want to quickly finish what we're saying about what an inspection involves. When we get to a distribution box, we want to open that so that we have access to the drain pipes, the laterals, in whether it's a drain field some call it a disposal bed, leach field. All those terms are the same thing. It's a rectangular a space like a shallow swimming pool with a layer of drainage stone, the drain pipes. In this area where soils drain poorly, the soil has to be dug out and replaced with a layer of sand under the stone. In South Jersey, where there's sandy soil, you don't have to replace it. The system would be cheaper. You can work with native soils that drain better and simply do a layer of drainage stone and pipe. So the soils make a difference. The soil has to be tested to determine what kind of system, how well it's going to drain, and depth to water table will tell us if it has to be raised or use alternative technology if people don't want a raised system. We look to determine the depth of the drainage stone. Within that stone, how well is it draining? Is there standing water? Is it draining through the stone into the earth, or is it filling up, like that shallow swimming pool again? In older systems that are clogged, that are no longer draining right, the liquid will fill up and eventually cause a backup or break out on the surface. That's a failing system. Overflow or backup is a failing system. They can be described as unsatisfactory if they need repairs. That's not necessarily failing. There's a difference.
Remember at the Huntington Board of Health thing, they said that when you get these reports back from your septic tester, that there can be unsatisfactory check marks. But unless the box malfunctioning is checked.
Yes.
That's not of their concern.
Repairs are possible.
Okay.
If it's simply unsatisfactory, that makes a difference.
I believe a lot of people out there do not know that.
Realtors don't know that.
Realtors and the terror from a buyer when they see all these unsatisfactories, but it says malfunctioning is okay.
Yes. We review reports from many companies week to week. Everybody out there that does inspections, we review these reports. Are companies involved in any and all aspects related to septic systems? We do repairs. We do full replacements. We work through engineering. It helps. Homeowners know we have management programs to help systems last longer. We can talk to them about what's involved with their usage. People will call us with questions. Hey, my neighbor says once a week he throws a pound of hamburger in. Does that really help it to digest? I knew an old-timer that once a year threw a dead cat in his cesspool. He thought that helps the bacteria level. These days we know that live bacteria products make a difference in the system. Many of us have... You move into a house and your mother-in-law is a clean freak using bleach and antibacterial products everywhere. They may be killing off good bacteria in the tank. Adding a live bacteria product can make a difference. Products with chemicals can hurt the system. It makes a big difference.
What about plungers?
Plungers are just fine. They do a fine job.
It is amazing.
It's important to have one available.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of difference.
Right before you call, you would try the plunger.
Certainly. Joking. There certainly are problems that are all about interior plumbing. Not every problem is the septic system in the outside. We will get complaints about odors in the house. The septic system's outside the house. Odors in the house are very often an interior plumbing issue. The septic system odors outside makes sense, but the septic system is not inside the house.
I'm so mad that it's 11:55 already. I'm totally enjoying this. I hope you are too. Go ahead, two more minutes. Anything, the most important thing you want to tell us?
There are many people doing septic systems inspections. They offer different levels of inspections. If a man arrives, he may have a camera, but a single man with a shovel can only go so deep and look so far. Many inspection companies will have a report that ends, we can't get the camera out of the tank. We recommend you get a professional who can look further, find more, do more, finish the inspection. Our inspections are complete. Come to conclusions, do not ever require a follow-up to finish or answer the questions.
That is so important because I can tell you from experience, that is my biggest frustration is where that we have the general inspection and then we have the septic inspection. But the septic inspection person isn't, like you said, you have the engineering services, you have the completion of what happened at this. You can test it with the camera, tell everybody what's done wrong, and then fix it. Because it's like that extra person step in there drives me crazy.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's why I had Tom here today, is because I'm Jeannie Murphy with Weikert Realtors in Flemington, and he is like the poster child in our office. And it's good to have you here, and thank you so much for bringing us up to date.
Thank you for having me, Jeannie.
New Jersey Septic Management Group. They're right here in Bellamy, New Jersey. And we're going to have you back on the show again, continuing to talk about more about these issues.
Thank you. Look forward to it. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, you guys all have a great day. Thanks so much for watching in.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A hearing underway at this hour on the Justice Department Inspector General's report on the origins of the Russia investigation. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham chairs the committee, and he says the system failed, accusing higher-ups in the FBI of trying to take the law into their own hands.
It doesn't take much to open one, and the worst thing can happen is for people to open one up whose real purpose is not to protect an American, but to surveil them.
The IG found that the FBI was justified in starting the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. He said there was no political bias, but did say there were mistakes made by the FBI. Swedish climate activist 16-year-old Greta Thunberg is Time Magazine's Person of the Year, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi everyone, Wayne Alarouche. Listen carefully to another great offer on one of the most sought-after assets on Earth. The world of political turmoil just gets crazier and crazier. Impeachment hearings, China trade wars, Fed money pumping, which are creating bubbles that could burst any day now. With one exception, gold and silver, which are currently undervalued and have excellent growth potential in 2020. So here's another irresistible offer to help you cash in on asset protection while you still can. My sponsor, Swiss America, is willing to ship my listeners another popular silver coin, the U.S. Peace Dollar, for just $16.50 each delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. This is an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling 800-289-2646. Write it down. 800-289-2646. Get your supply of silver U.S. Peace Dollars for just $16.50 each delivered. 800-289-2646 or go to SwissAmerica.com.
No Americans were hurt, but one person was killed and more than 60 people injured in an attack outside the main U.S. military base in Afghanistan hours ago. Two attackers blew up vehicles packed with explosives, while others sprayed gunfire at the base. Following calls for him to do so, Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg is revealing his client list from when he worked at a consulting firm, McKinsey and Company. He says he's glad the company did end up releasing him from a confidentiality agreement.
One thing I care about is transparency and making sure that folks know everything they need to know about me, who I am, where I've come from, my story. The other thing is keeping my word. And when I say I'm going to do something, and especially when I sign my name to a legal document.
Mayor Pete speaking to NBC.
Because there's many other wines out there that are not called champagne, made in a similar way. But sparkling wine kind of goes with everything. And even in breakfast, brunch, right, mimosas, people love that little bit of bubbly, right? Neat thing about champagne or sparkling wines is you're not really serving as much per person. We talk about how it's made and What does drive the cost up on good sparkling wine or good champagne? Many factors go into it, but basically you're serving 3 or 4 ounces versus maybe 6 ounces or more, about 6 ounces of maybe average for a glass of still wine. Still wine meaning something without bubbles. The bubbles, it's celebratory. It the kind of speeds up the alcohol absorption as you feel like you have a little champagne toast and right away you're in, you know, loosen up a little bit. It's not that they're high alcohol wines, but they just get into your system a little bit quicker. And also you find with the sparkling wines that they do go, and even with a food like eggs, which normally, you know, does not do well with other wines, especially red wines, although you can find examples of anything that will go with specific foods. There's a few things, though, that we try to often avoid at tastings, but, you know, again, it's personal taste, whatever you like. There's